Welcome to Journal Club for November 5th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. What makes good code? If you have two snippets that solve the same problem without throwing errors, what makes one of those snippets better than the other, more advanced than the other, more maintainable than the other? That's the question at the heart of today's research. In this paper, the authors take a group of 38 programming students, split the group roughly in half, and have the two halves compete at Java coding problems. One of the groups has access to ChatGPT, while the other does not. Once all the students complete the problems, the researchers analyze the results to determine if ChatGPT helped the students write higher quality, more proficient, more professional code. For me, the interesting part of this research is less about ChatGPT, and more about how they evaluated the students' output, the rubrics, the scoring mechanisms they used to review the work and evaluate its quality. For this presentation, I'll focus on their evaluation methods, and then return to the study's findings at the end. To begin, let's look at the problem set that the students were asked to complete. These programming exercises covered a broad range of Java fundamentals, from control structures and loops to object-oriented programming, file handling, collections, and multi-threading. The tasks were designed to build practical knowledge, but each required distinct technical skills. For example, collections exercises demanded an understanding of data structures and their efficient manipulation. File handling required knowledge of I/O streams with proper closing of resources to avoid memory leaks. Object-oriented programming emphasized class design principles, interfaces, and polymorphism. Multi-threading called for students to manage concurrent tasks, which introduces a layer of complexity and synchronizing shared resources. These tasks assessed not only students' ability to write functional code, but also how well they could adhere to clean code practices that keep complexity in check and improve readability. To evaluate the results, the researchers focused on three research questions. Research question 1. What violations to coding conventions can be observed in the source code if students use or don't use ChatGPT for the programming exercises? The researchers used static code analysis to measure several specific violations. 2. What are the most violation-dense topics in the programming exercises if students use or don't use ChatGPT for implementing them? They analyzed which types of exercises, such as collections, file I/O, or OOP, resulted in the most coding rule violations. 3. How does using ChatGPT influence the cyclomatic and cognitive complexity of the student's code? Cyclomatic complexity measures the number of independent paths through a program, indicating how intricate or straightforward its control flow is. High cyclomatic complexity often makes code difficult to read and maintain. Cognitive complexity goes a step further, focusing on readability and the mental effort required to understand the code, especially when it includes nested structures or multiple conditional paths. For research question 1, the researchers began with static analysis, a method for evaluating code quality without executing the program. Using tools like CheckStyle, they measured the following rule violations across both groups based on Oracle's standard Java coding conventions. Line length. This rule flags code lines that exceed a standard character length, like 80 or 100 characters, which can compromise readability and the structure. Final parameters. Parameters in methods, constructors, and loops should be marked final if they're not intended to be modified. And this reinforces immutability. Hidden field. This violation occurs when local variables or parameters shadow class fields, which can lead to confusion and obscure the code's true functionality. Missing switch default. Switch statements without a default case can overlook potential values, leading to incomplete logic and potential bugs. Design for extension. Methods not explicitly designed for extensibility can inhibit future modifications, particularly in OOP. Magic number. Use of hard-coded numbers in code, often without context or comments, reduces the readability and the maintainability. Visibility modifier. Incorrect application of access modifiers can expose internal class structures unnecessarily, which violates encapsulation. Right curly. This rule enforces consistent placement of the right curly braces, which promotes clear code structure. In any modern text editor or IDE, this is probably being enforced automatically. Need braces. Control structures that lack braces around blocks, even if technically allowed, can increase error proneness and reduce readability. Recall that we're talking strictly about Java here, so obviously this wouldn't apply to something like Python or any language that doesn't use braces. Local variable name. This rule checks that the local variables use meaningful and consistent naming conventions, avoiding single character or ambiguous names. Method param pad. This rule enforces that there's proper padding around method parameters for readability and consistency. Avoid nested blocks. Deeply nested blocks can create code that is harder to read and maintain, and this rule discourages such structures. The researchers used these metrics to track adherence to Java coding standards, assessing each rule's impact on overall code quality separately, and then aggregating the scores together. For research question 2, the researchers investigated where these violations clustered most densely. They identified exercises that covered collections, file I/O, and object-oriented programming as areas with the highest frequency of rule violations. These exercises required students to apply multiple concepts in each solution, which increased the likelihood of errors in the code structure and logic. For example, collections exercises often resulted in line length violations as students attempted complex manipulations without breaking up their code into simpler methods. Similarly, file I/O tasks frequently violated final parameters as students forgot to properly finalize inputs, which could lead to resource leaks. OOP tasks showed a high incidence of design for extension violations as students struggled with designing modular and extensible code that could be reused effectively. Research question 3 was all about cyclomatic and cognitive complexity. As I mentioned earlier, cyclomatic complexity is a metric that reflects the number of linearly independent paths through a program's source code, capturing its structural complexity. Derived from a program's control flow graph, where nodes represent code blocks and edges represent flow, each decision point increases the cyclomatic complexity score. Okay, this gets a little complicated. The metric is calculated as M equals E minus N plus 2P, where E is the number of edges, N is the number of nodes, and P is the number of connected components. So, it's easiest to think of it as a high cyclomatic complexity, meaning that the code is intricate, potentially leading to higher maintenance costs and greater difficulty in testing. This measure often serves as a proxy for code readability, as simpler control flow tends to produce more maintainable code. Cognitive complexity, however, takes a more nuanced approach. Rather than only counting paths, cognitive complexity considers the mental strain involved in understanding the code. For instance, deeply nested if conditions or chained logic statements increase cognitive complexity by forcing readers to track multiple branches simultaneously. Unlike cyclomatic complexity, cognitive complexity does not increment with every single decision point, but rather increases when the code requires additional mental effort to parse. Factors contributing to cognitive complexity include nested control statements, multiple logic operators, and highly abstracted code patterns. Lower cognitive complexity scores indicate the code is easier to understand and follow, particularly for those who may be unfamiliar with its structure. In this study, the researchers used SonarQube to measure both cyclomatic and cognitive complexities. So, how did the students do versus ChatGPT? As you can guess, ChatGPT made a distinct impact on the quality of the students' code. For research question 1, the results showed that the students who used ChatGPT produced code with fewer rule violations, indicating better adherence to coding standards. Violations like line length and final parameters were notably lower among ChatGPT users. For research question 2, ChatGPT also helped reduce violations in the most error-prone topics, collections, file handling, and OOP. Finally, research question 3 revealed that ChatGPT aided students achieve lower cyclomatic complexity and cognitive complexities in their code. This means ChatGPT users tended to produce simpler, more understandable code with clearer control flow and less demanding cognitive structures. But the question remains, did the students truly understand the better code they produced, or were they simply copying and pasting solutions they didn't fully grasp? This distinction matters when we think about ChatGPT as either being a productivity tool or a pedagogical aid. Ultimately, ChatGPT's effectiveness as a learning tool depends on how the students engage with it. Are they using it to reinforce their understanding or as a shortcut around difficult concepts? The study suggests that ChatGPT, when used thoughtfully, can help students follow better coding practices and reduce complexity, but it should be used as an enhancer to learning, not a replacement. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.